Join us for a classic episode of Jack Van Impe Presents, with today's headlines added to show the fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Hello and welcome to Jack Van Impe Presents. I have never been asked so many questions as I have been asked this past week about a certain date, and you all know what I'm going to say. Israeli leader clashes with Obama over 1967 Israel's borders. My, that is a big one also. And Iran's Ahmadinejad in a tirade against Israel. Well, that's really no surprise, but it's a new tirade, and we will refer to it in just a moment.
Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and John 17:17 says, thy word is truth, and 120 times God says the world will never end, as we're going to see just a little later.
In other words, when Jesus comes back and he said he was going to come back to the earth, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for 1,000 years to reign with peace on the earth. When the Lord comes back, it doesn't mean the end of the world. Will the end of the world ever happen?
There are 6 texts mistranslated in this holy book. And they are Matthew 13:39, verse 40, verse 49, Matthew 24:3, Matthew 28:20, and Hebrews 9:26. And instead of saying the end of the world, they should say the end of the age of grace. There are 7 dispensations, and the 5th and 6th have to do with Moses and Christ. And the Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that's Matthew 1:17. But there are 2 dispensations, 2 ages there, the 5th and the 6th, and the 7th age will be when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom on earth. Now watch this. Matthew 24:3. The disciples came to Jesus and said, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? No, end of the age of grace. Why? Just turn the page. Matthew 25:31, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with all his holy angels. And then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory as he rules the world. And when he comes, he says to those who are ready, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 34. You get it? They talk about the end of the world in chapter 24, verse 3. But it can't happen because in chapter 25, verse 31, he comes to earth to set up his kingdom. So it hasn't ended. The world's still intact. So change the word world to age in those 6 instances, and you'll have a correct interpretation of God's holy word.
So, Jack, the coming of the Lord is not a doomsday event. It's not going to be a doomsday message at all. It's a wonderful time when the Lord comes back, no. Right?
All right, let me prove now the world will never end. Ecclesiastes 1:4, the earth abides forever. Now, that doesn't take a genius to interpret it. Forever is forever. Psalm 104:5, Yahweh God created the earth and it shall never, never be removed. How long is never? Never. The meek shall inherit the earth, Jesus said in Matthew 5:5. Not heaven, we go there when we die, but we come back with him to live here on earth. We're going to be here forever and forever, soon after Christ returns with his people in heaven. Now, how long do the meek inherit the earth? Psalm 37:29. The meek and the righteous inherit the earth forever and forever. Heaven's going to be changed to terra firma. We'll be on this old globe. And isn't it strange that he picked our particular planet for that in the future? But Isaiah 45:17 and Ephesians 3:21 both say it's a world without end. That's easy to understand, isn't it? Every Catholic Mass ends with that. For 2,000 years, world without end. Amen and amen. Now, why? And I've just given you 6. I got another 114 to go. Believe me, the world will not end. But let's continue. It can't end because he's going to reign here. First of all, for that 1,000 years, Revelation 20:4. Then at the end of that period, he is recommissioned in 1 Corinthians 15:24 to 28. Why? To continue his reign on this globe forever and forever and forever. Now, listen carefully. Revelation 11:15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of his Christ and his God. Now, kingdoms don't have to do with heavens. Kingdoms have to do with earth, and that's why Jesus comes and controls the kings and kingdoms of the earth, because he's the king of the kings, Revelation 19, verse 16. You and I reign with Christ for 1,000 years in Revelation 20, verse 4, but in Revelation 22, 5, after he's recommissioned, we reign with him forever and forever here on the earth. It's forever that this kingdom's going to last. Oh, I love it when the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary on that glorious morning when Christ was born, and he said in Luke 1, verses 32 and 33, "Oh, Mary, your son shall be the greatest, and he shall sit upon the throne of his father David in Jerusalem, and he shall reign over the house of Israel forever and forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end." Now, that's not only Christianity, but that is Judaism when their Messiah comes. And Daniel 2:44 says, in the days of these kings, what kings? The revived Roman Empire in that chapter. The European Union, which we've lived to see. What about it? In the days of these kings shall the Lord God of heaven set up his kingdom here on earth, which shall never be destroyed. Never. It shall stand forever. How long is forever? It's forever. And oh, do I love Daniel 7:18, Rexella. The saints of the Most High God shall take and possess the kingdom and possess it forever, even forever and ever. God Almighty mentions this three different times. The world will never end. Now, I've got hundreds of more verses to back that up. Forget the six misinterpreted ones, and all you guys who've been predicting the end of the world, and there have been many over the years, forget it. And sleep well. When Jesus comes, it's not going to be doom and gloom.
Oh, I love that, Jack. I love that, don't you? Well, you know, friends, something is happening right now that really burdens my heart. We're seeing Israel and the Jewish people being put on the spot by our president. Okay. What does he want them to do? He wants them to give up Jerusalem and go back to pre-1967 borderline. And let's take a look. Let's go back a little bit farther and take a look at Jewish history. All right, here you see it. Let's go back when the world descended into madness. Now you see the front gate of Auschwitz, the infamous Nazi extermination camp in Poland. It just burdens my heart, and I've often wondered why. Why have the Jewish people been so hated, even wanted to be exterminated when Nazi Hitler was in control? Jack, why?
Rexella, it's always been that way. Let's go back 2,534 years in history. It's 586 B.C., and Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 1:1, marches down to Jerusalem and takes all of the Jews out of their land. It's not the Palestinians, it was theirs. And he took them to his nation and kept them as slaves. Over the years, some of them returned. Then in 70 AD, Vespasian and his son Titus, the Roman general, slaughtered 1 million Jews and took the rest out of the country. And they've been out of their land all those years, their land, until 1948. God wills it. Oh, these people have been hated. And then the maniac Adolf Schicklgruber, Hitler, came to power and murdered 6 million of God's people. And these statistics can be proven regardless of what the anti-Semites and the haters of the Jews say. And I could prove it if I had time, but let's go on right now. We have another maniac called Ahmadinejad, and his Messiah is to come. You must first kill all the Jews before I can come. God forgive. Now, why? Because 1 Chronicles 21:1 says Satan stood against the Jews. Simple enough? Why? God loved them. He says, they're my chosen people. Deuteronomy 7:7. He says, I chose Israel to be my wife. Hosea 2:19. They're my elect. Isaiah 42:1, 45:4, and 65 verses 9 and 22. And he says, they're the apple of my eye, Zechariah 2:8. And I'm going to tell you something. You touch these people, you're going to pay for. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. And you watch what will happen in the future. We just had a row with Netanyahu as he came to America, and we have articles that prove that our president is an anti-Semite, hates the Jews. And he's done everything to turn it over to the Muslims, the Palestinian Muslims, Hamas, and the rest of that crowd. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to go very far. People are getting disturbed in America. And boy, was I happy at what just happened when Netanyahu spoke to the Congress, the Democrats, in strength, including Nancy Pelosi and Reid. Both Democratic leaders always stood with our president and said, this is where we take our stand. We vote for Israel. They do not have to go back to the 67 borders. They do not have to give up Jerusalem. And there were 20 standing ovations.
Whoa.
I feel sorry for you, Mr. President. Thank God for this Congress. I'll bless them which bless you, Israel.
Oh, yes. I want to back up everything you just said with headlines. The first one being from the Wall Street Journal, an anti-Israel president. The president's peace proposal is a formula for war. Former U.S. peace broker Netanyahu and Obama are on different planets.
Amen.
Again, Israeli leader clashes with Obama. And the Congress applauds Israelis' hard line. Now, that's what Jack was talking about, how they clap for Netanyahu as he spoke to them on the Mideast peace agenda. Even the Democrats applauded him. And the 1967 line of fire, Obama creates a needless furor over Israel's borders. Once again, Palestinians prepare to mourn Israel's creation. They're going to say, we're going to destroy you and cry over you when you're done. And Hania on Nakba Day. And of course, that is a holy day for the Palestinians, and they say pray for an end to Israel. Hamas MP, Jews in gathered for us to annihilate them. They're all there, so let's get rid of all of them. And Netanyahu, world must stop those wishing to destroy the Jewish people. And I agree, why they want to kill all the Jews, I'll never know. But whose land is Israel? Is it the Jewish land or the Palestinian land? How about that one, Jack?
I told you a few minutes ago that Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. took the Jews out of their own land. And then the Palestinians later took over. And in 70 A.D., Vespasian and Titus' son, Roman generals, took them again out of the land after slaughtering 1 million. You need to hear that. And so for 2,534 years, they were without their own land. But then God brought them back. And listen to this, Ezekiel 36:24, God speaking, I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of the countries of the world into your own land. Plain enough? I will put you in your own land, Ezekiel 37:14. Amos 9:15, I will plant them in their own land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land. And how long is that going to last? I will give Israel an everlasting name, Isaiah 56:5. Everlasting means that God's going to keep loving them forever.
I want to ask him a very important question here. What will happen next? What's on God's agenda next, Jeff?
Listen to me. He comes in peaceably, Daniel 11:21. Enters in peaceably, Daniel 11:24. He makes a 7-year contract, Daniel 9:27. But it's the contract of death and hell, Isaiah 28:15. Why? Because by peace he destroys many, Daniel 8:25. How can he do that? Because everyone's going to say, oh, this leader, he's brought peace, peace. There'll be no more war. It's wonderful. And that's what they're crying out in Jeremiah 6:14, Jeremiah 8:11, but when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. World War III, Russia makes the move, Ezekiel 38:39, and then China, Revelation 16:12, and it's described in chapter 9, verse 14, 18. Finally, all nations, because what this leader of the world order has done is create war by the way he's handled the situation, just like you heard in one of the headlines, and the war begins because they divide Jerusalem, Joel 3:2.
Jack, I'm going to go to a very, very personal invitation right now. What does all this mean to you? Some of you have a real alcohol problem, a drug problem, problem with your children's. You want peace now. There's only one way to have peace now, and that's to open your heart to the Lord, the Savior of the world. Will you do that? Allow Him to come into your life. No matter what happens, you'll be ready, right, Jack?
Oh, let's calm our heart. Look at me. God has made it so simple for you. He died to shed His blood to wash away every one of your sins. I don't care what you've done. It's horrible in your own eyes. But the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Pray this then, Lord Jesus, eternal Savior, only Savior. I believe in your shed blood to wash me. I've sinned a lot, Lord, but your blood is sufficient to wash me. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart today. I pray it in your holy name. Amen.
Oh, amen. I trust you prayed that prayer. If you did, there's my address. Please write to me. Let me know. First Steps in a New Direction will be in the mail. A new direction. The Lord will walk with you in that wonderful new direction. He is your Savior. He'll bring peace to you and everlasting life with Him one day. Oh, you'll be prepared for anything that might come in this world. Write to me. First Steps, New Direction. I'd like to leave you with this thought. A very, very good thought. Our greatest weakness may be our failure to ask for God's strength. If ever we needed the strength of the Lord, we need it today. And that's why all the families are in our prayers. They need God's strength. Not just encouragement here and there, but they need God's strength. Look forward to being your home again next week. And until then, remember, God cares for you, so do we so very much. Bye-bye.
Be sure to join us next week for another classic episode with today's headlines added.